Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of Youth Peace Talks. We are super excited about this episode because we will be learning more about Youth Peace Initiative, the organization that we work for, and how to create an NGO from scratch. And to do this, we will be talking to a very special guest here today, the chair of Youth Peace Initiative and co-founder, Ted. But first, let us briefly introduce ourselves, your co-hosts. I'm Clara, the program coordinator for external activities, and I'm joined here today by my colleague, Leila.
I'm Leila, the communications officer of the Youth Peace Initiative. And without further ado, this is Ted, the chair and co-founder of YPI. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I'm really excited about this talk because it's going to be more of a relaxed talk where we get to know about the inspiration behind YPI and also about the ins and outs about founding your NGO and also a little bit more about Ted as a chair, as a co-founder, and also as a human. But before we get started, we thought it would be nice to just go around and see how everyone's doing. So Ted, how are you feeling? Yeah. And also, what was the highlight of your day?
Wow. So I'm good. Thank you. I'm really excited about this podcast. And unfortunately, there's not much highlights today for I am in quarantine. So I guess the highlight was just a walk, my daily walk. And also, I came across a new, like an old vinyl record that I think I'll play after this this podcast from Fleetwood Mac.
Nice one. That sounds really good. Clara, how are you doing? What was your highlight?
Yeah, so same as Ted, I've been working from home all day, but I actually did go on a little walk earlier as well. And it was just really nice to have a coffee to go now that the cafes and restaurants are closed here. I had a coffee to go and then walk through the park and listen to another podcast, actually. So getting ready for this one.
Nice.
My highlight would have been, I think, seeing the sun finally peek through the clouds, because for a long time, it feels like we haven't seen it. And just earlier, it came through the window and it was so beautiful. Very rare in Amsterdam. So that was really nice. But yeah, I'm happy that everyone's doing fine, even though we're still in quarantine period. And just to jump in before we start the discussion a little bit more about NGOs, we'd like to ask you, Ted, to introduce yourself a little bit so that you get to introduce yourself however you prefer. We don't want to put words in your mouth. We're just going to say you're Ted, co-founder and chair, and you can say anything else you'd like about yourself.
All right, let's go. Hey, my name is Ted. I'm 26 years old. I live in Amsterdam together with my girlfriend. I have a bachelor in international relations and a master's degree in the management of public organizations and NGOs. Studied in Amsterdam as well. So besides being involved in YPI, or the Youth Peace Initiative, I work for an organization called the Netherlands Institute for Multiparty Democracy. That's a mouthful. But the aim of the organization is to strengthen democracy in countries worldwide. This stretches from Colombia, where we have a lot of work to do after the peace agreement in 2016, all the way up to Myanmar, where I believe in November will be the third official elections. Since 2010. And although I'm quite a workaholic, I do have other things to do that I like to do, such as playing soccer or searching for new music or going to the theater, even though that's not really possible right now.
Yeah, thanks for this introduction. Let's go a little bit into the topic of today. So we thought it would be really interesting to hear from you about how you set up YPI and how this all got started, but also to hear a bit about the ins and outs of, you know, founding an NGO and kind of working in an NGO. You've been doing this for 5 years now, right?
Yeah, six years already.
Six years. Yeah. Okay, so I'd be really interested to hear what inspired you initially to get started. So what was kind of the kickoff of everything?
Yeah, so I think there's two things. Maybe first to start personally is like a genuine interest in conflict resolution already when I was really, really young. I was mediator at an elementary school, so trying to solve conflicts between students according to a specific mediation method. That was when I was really young. But when I grew older, I learned about other conflicts, not between students, but between states and people. And I started thinking about the question, like, despite the magnitude of these conflicts, what as a young person can I do, like contributing to well, maybe bits of peace in these big conflicts. And then, yeah, what the trigger was for starting the Youth Peace Initiative, I think was a trip to the Middle East where I learned more about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in specific. And what struck me was that half of the joint population of Israelis and Palestinians is below the, below the age of 25. And their futures are and will remain captive to the errors of the past, unless they are involved in creating sustainable peace. And with all due respect for the old and gray leaders that have put effort into solving this conflict that has been there for so long already, they weren't quite successful so far. And yet, I mean, young people have to live with the consequences of the absence of peace. And so realizing that and talking to like different people during my trip in the Middle East, we started to believe that maybe we needed something new. Maybe we needed a new grassroots and youth-led initiative to sort of bring something extra, something positive, and maybe build some hope between young Israelis and Palestinians. And I guess that to make this statement, we organized a conference in The Hague for 1 week in October 2014. And we invited Israeli and Palestinian students together with youth from other conflict areas. And we didn't think about like creating an NGO or whatsoever. It was just the idea of, you know, we have to do something, so let's just organize this conference. And we didn't think about what would happen afterwards at all.
So it was initially a one-time thing, actually.
Yeah.
And you weren't really planning on having a whole organization coming out of that.
No, absolutely not. Actually, we thought that, you know, we would organize this peace conference and hopefully the Israeli and Palestinian young people that joined the initiative would be able to create some sort of a manifest showing their ideas about how we could possibly move forward in this conflict that has been stuck for so long. And that we would actually hand this manifesto over to Obama, John Kerry, who was US Secretary of State at that moment, and doing shuttle diplomacy between Abbas, the leader of Palestinians, and Netanyahu from Israel. So yeah, that was the initial idea, but it turned out to be something different.
A lot bigger, yeah. So how did it take off from there? What happened after this, I guess, quite successful first conference?
Yeah, so organizing this conference, we got together a group of Dutch students actually to be the organizing committee. Yeah, I think during the first days of the conference, the goal really was to create some sort of trust between the participants. And afterwards, the participants, like in the second half of the conference, they would have debate and talk about what their needs and perspectives are on the, on a more sustainable peace in the region. And what was significant, I think, to mention, and I have it, you won't be able to see it as it is a podcast, but I have the first document, the sort of outcome of the first conference. It's called Our Common Future, Paving the Road for Sustainable Peace. And I'd like to read a couple of words, a quote, and then we'll continue. So the quote starts, it says, "We, youth of the world's regions in conflict, have come to The Hague to put our differences behind us and pursue a better future. We remember the past, but choose not to remain captive to it. Instead, we seek to move past the mistakes of previous generations and achieve peace together." So I think this is a really strong statement made by the group showing their commitment to get together and seek for a better future. And so they also agreed during this conference that they wanted to continue after the conference. So when they returned home, they would want to continue with their meetings and discuss their ideas even further. Now, in the Israeli-Palestinian context, that's not so easy to continue meeting. And so YPI, then became the organization actually who would be able to facilitate that. So we provided funding, we provided all the logistical stuff that would include like arranging a location, for instance, in Jerusalem, permits to cross borders or anything else that was necessary to have this conversation going on.
Yeah, this is so interesting to hear, actually, because I mean, Leila and I have been YPI for a while now, but I think just really hearing the initial story behind it is really inspiring as well, and also motivating for us. And then, so that was 6 years ago, you said.
Yeah.
And then what were some key moments in the past 5-6 years? Some things that maybe the first conference, that was probably one of the milestones for you, but were there some other things that you feel like this is really a moment, I will never forget this moment, or this is really where I felt like we're making a difference here, there is something happening?
Yeah. I think, well, the moment that they actually asked us as an organization to sort of continue the facilitation of this, of these meetings, is really something that, yeah, is a key moment for us. It is like the start of the organization. So we developed ourselves as facilitators of dialogue, but later on, not only for Israeli Palestinians, but also in a conference for Syrian youth. Since then, we have sort of engaged in lobby and advocacy as well, setting up meetings with high-level representatives from governments, embassies, but also the EU and UN. And we've organized many other projects, like including lectures, workshops. And lately, I think a key moment is also the Youth Carnegie Peace Prize that we've established together with the United Network of Young Peace Builders and the Carnegie Peace Palace Foundation. And I think, yeah, the central message of that prize is to, well, raise awareness about the challenges that young peace builders have, give recognition to their hard work, and inspire others to take up action. So I think, yeah, these developments that we've engaged in these activities are some of the key moments. And then, of course, another key factor or key factors are the trust of the participants, the amazing board members that we have, and the trust of like partners that provide us with funding.
Yeah, this sounds really like a lot has happened in the past years, and I can imagine that you did not have this all in mind when you first started, but it must be really motivating for you also to keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, realizing how in such a short amount of time so much can happen, actually. So I think we want to hear a little bit more about the logistics. Yeah, right. Leila, I'll give over to you.
Yeah, well, I agree with what Clara said. It's really interesting to hear about how organic this whole NGO development was, in a way, because you didn't have this clear idea in mind when you started, which is maybe not what people think of when they think of setting up an NGO or an organization. Maybe people think that you need to have a plan from the beginning and that's how you develop something. But it's nice to hear that you can start off with spontaneous initiative and then it develops into something more because you have positive feedback. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you set up the NGO and a little bit of advice that you might have for other people. So maybe we could start with that. Do you have any advice for people who would like to start an NGO, who have an idea and want to turn it into something bigger?
Yeah. I mean, of course, and I'm with some reservations, of course, because I'm not sure if like the way that I did it was the perfect way. But if I can like advise anything, then indeed, like it's just to start off with an ideal situation that you like a dream actually that you want to work towards, and just keeping that in mind, and then slowly you can just see which steps could contribute to that vision and what fits your organization at that moment. Yeah, have a lot of patience as well. It can take a lot of time, so be sure to put some time in it. But what helped for us in the beginning is to really create a short concept note, actually, of 2 pages that just describe the problem that we were trying to solve and the program that we envisioned. And then we talked to as many people as possible who would help us to improve the idea, or even better, they would become so enthusiastic that they wanted to join. So that's, I guess, how we got the first board together. It was just people that heard of the idea, were interested, and then decided to join. And then also look for NGOs that might be doing similar things. That doesn't mean that you should not do what you do, but just make sure that you learn from what they are doing and apply it in your own context, and try to evaluate what you've been doing, see if it still works for you. Constantly sort of check in with the board, like what are things that are currently interesting for your board members to do as well? Like where are opportunities?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good advice. And also along those same lines, who or what is important to keep in mind in this process of setting up an NGO? You mentioned the board members already, which mm-hmm. help you out, of course, to set up an NGO and develop the concept. Did you have any other people in mind?
Well, for us, as the Youth Peace Initiative, we had a specific also external advisor, actually, who really helped us out. Like, even though we were saying that we were young and we wanted to do everything ourselves, and we believe that we can do everything ourselves, it is always good to have advice from someone outside of your organization, showing you or helping you with this network. So be open to advice from others. What's more important, I think, your own intuition, of course. So trust yourself and you'll learn along the way. As mentioned, I didn't really think that it would go like this when we started it, but we just learned. And test if the things that you are coming across still contribute to your vision. So constantly see, does this fit, or should I leave this thing to somebody else?
I'd like to hear about some of the challenges that you've maybe encountered and how you overcame them, if you have any. Maybe it was just a very smooth sailing path.
No. Actually, there was a challenge, I believe, on the first day of the first conference already that, there was a big argument among the participants. And I think, in that specific situation, it showed that you really have to be very sensitive to all the political and emotional sensitivities that come along when you are working with youth that has experienced conflict or is experiencing conflict. As much as sort of our board members, like YPI, tries to be neutral or be a facilitator, like it's so difficult to not hurt anyone's feelings, and just be very careful with what you are saying, or be honest that if you don't know anything, just say that you are not like experienced, and that we have to figure this out together as a group. So that's something, I think, the political sensitivities. And then another thing, a challenge for us is that we had to grow in our capacity. We had to grow in our funding, and finding this funding is not that easy, and it takes a lot of time. And also, like, working with more board members requires more sort of management skills. Yeah, I guess I still have to learn in that as well.
You're a great manager. but I really like what you said about, basically listening to what the participants are experiencing and also co-creating this all together, because that's how you add a lot of richness to the whole project, the whole initiative. And that's probably why it's grown so much now, because you were really attentive to what the participants needed and what they were feeling. Even though it's a very tricky situation, but that's that adds a lot to the richness of it.
Yeah, and if I can add one more thing to that, is that in the beginning, we actually hired external facilitators for our project. But later on, we realized that it was much stronger if we would actually facilitate everything really ourselves. So I think, that's something that we've learned along the way as well, is to put more emphasis on training ourselves in facilitating.
That's really interesting. And that kind of leads into my next question, which is, how have you grown personally and professionally? Because, of course, you've grown as a facilitator now, so you've developed some new skills. But is there anything else that has changed about you as a person?
I think this is a major, major thing. So learning to deal with sensitivities and facilitating, and taking care of a group and a group process, designing this group process and designing the programs, program management, public speaking. I guess as a chair, you have to sometimes step out into the open and represent, of course, the initiative. And then I guess, yeah, what else? I mean, yeah, personally, of course, you like get inspired by all the participants that, yeah, were able to, I mean, despite their anger and traumas, to talk to, yeah, the so-called enemy and see, like, yeah, slowly seeing a more human on your opposite of the table.
I have an extra question as well, because some of the things you just said popped up some questions in my mind. I was wondering if you would share with us what your favorite part of being the chair of the board is. You do seem to enjoy it, and when we have board meetings, you're always very attentive and ready to listen, and you're always motivated and inspired after 6 years of being engaged in this. So what is your favorite part of this whole process, or what is keeping you really engaged?
Wow, so many things. Okay, let's start close to the organization. So that would be, of course, the board. I mean, it's all voluntary work, so it's all motivated people that share some of the same vision as I do, and it's really great to see how each and everyone within the organization is sort of working from that vision and thinking and creating new stuff. So stuff that I would never imagine would happen, such as this podcast. Thank you, Laila and Clara, for that. So that's really inspiring. And then, the second thing, of course, is the participants to the conference or to the programs or to projects or people that come to visit our lectures or workshops. That's what I found was really, is really inspiring always.
And I think that was also a really good segue to our last part of this podcast, of this conversation, because we want to kind of go around and circle back to you, Ted, as a person, having heard a little bit about YPI and what it's like to found an organization and the challenges that come along. But we have a few questions prepared for you for a quick question round that are a bit more about you as a person and some recommendations. So why don't we start with the first one? Are you ready?
All right.
So what would you advise a young person who wants to become involved in peace building? So not per se setting up their own organization, but just involved in one way or another, engaged.
Don't wait. Just start. And don't wait until you have the sort of perfect plan. Just go and see what comes.
Just do it, basically.
Exactly, just do it. Just gather people, share your ideas, and figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good one. So relating to that also, a lot of people want to educate themselves a bit more and inform themselves. So do you have some favorite resources you would recommend? Some books or documentaries or podcasts that it would be really nice for people to listen to or read to get engaged?
In terms of books, well, I could more specifically recommend one book. It's called Collaborating with Your Enemy from Adam Kane. I guess we can post a link somewhere.
Put it in the show notes, yeah.
It's a really good book, showing you lots of lessons about experience that Adam Kahane and his team had in peace building, and how to collaborate with your enemy, or how to get other people collaborate with their enemy. In terms of podcasts, I think the Peace Corner podcast is a really nice one, from GPAC, and I guess it's also Unoi. And lately, but that's more personal, I'm trying to learn French. I'm not so good at it yet, but the podcast Inner French. So if you're trying to learn French, Inner French is a nice podcast.
I think this is a really good tip, especially because learning languages is also a part of intercultural communication and mediation. And I think learning French is always a good benefit. So another question, if you could start a new project or NGO now, what would it be? Would you just do the same thing over again, or would you start something different?
Well, maybe something aside YPI, but I think it's really related. I was thinking maybe we can set up a global school or a network for young mediators. So actually providing mediator courses to young people.
I think that sounds like a really good idea.
So that's a great idea. We should start right,
right away.
Right. Yeah. Right so after this podcast.
So instead of us just facilitating, I mean, there could be so many other persons trying to facilitate.
Yeah, and help them develop their capacities. And okay, this is a big question, but what is your vision for the future of the world? Is there, or let's link it to the next question at the same time. If there's one thing you could change about the world, what would it be? So what is your dream for the future of the world?
Right. So maybe first change the dreadful weather in the Netherlands.
Really good idea.
So my vision for the future of the world, I would hope that in the long term, the Youth Peace Initiative is not necessary anymore, and that youth would be represented in peace negotiations, in peace processes, and actually the perception of youth that they are either the victims or the perpetrators changed, and that people start to realize that youth are perfectly capable to decide for themselves, to be what they want to be, and to have their voice heard in these types of processes as well. And on the short term, I hope to that we can sort of get a hold on the pandemic and make sure that young peace builders will still be able to do their work again or during the pandemic, and that they are supported.
And I think it's also a very unusual point that you're making, that your ideal situation, the organization you founded and that you're working on, that you put all this time in, isn't necessary anymore.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, it wouldn't be necessary if your dream vision would be already realized, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was the end of the quick question round. Leila, maybe I'm going to give over to you for the last words.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, Ted, do you have any last words to share with the audience, or any final tips for NGO founding?
Keep up the good work. Try to listen to as many other podcasts as necessary. Read, gain knowledge, and just go. Don't wait.
Nice.
I think we need you. That's the last thing. We need all the young peace builders.
Yeah, I think Nike has the perfect catchphrase. Just do it. You know, they know what's up. But thank you so much, Ted. It was really nice to hear about your experience and your motivation behind creating the Youth Peace Initiative and what keeps you going, and also giving tips to people on how to found their initiative if they're interested. I think there's obviously so much more to talk about. This could probably last for hours and hours if someone had very specific questions they wanted answers to. But this is a great start. And to anyone listening, if you want some advice, if you have some questions, you can send them to our email or contact us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll put all the links where you'll find them in the description. And you can check out our website as well, where we have some other resources for peace builders and some other podcast episodes. But for now, thank you to both of you.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Thank you very much as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you to the listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye.